Alvin Jones, with Midnight Walk. Thad Jones, his brother's on trumpet. Hank Mobley on tenor sax. Dollar Brand, who later changed his name to Abdullah Ibrahim of South Africa, on piano. Elvin, by the way, is on drums. And George Abend on percussion. This is the title track from Elvin Jones's 1966 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today we're going to remind ourselves that we have brains. And the heavy onslaught of propaganda should not have its way with us. We can think for ourselves, and therefore we will come to conclusions very different from what the media are presenting to us as the definitive understanding of what is going on in our world. You know, that is par for the course when people, we find ourselves as a nation, and this is happening all over the world, we're somehow connected to a major event, a major disaster, and then the media organizations in these major countries rev up their machines because they see themselves as having a duty to perform. And that duty is to influence our thinking. And especially when, to our initial reaction, we see that our nation has some things to account for in terms of its participation in this national and international disaster, all the more the pressure is applied for us to have a uniform point of view. How do we get that point of view? The media, there's no real meeting, generally, that has to be had, because by now, the formula has been established. And in that formula, the media, the role of the media is clearly defined. Bring the nation together no matter what. Go along with the program, because your major job is to persuade the people that this is what nationalism is. You have to support your country, right or wrong. Your country is right all the time. And you would be very unpatriotic if you should have an opinion that goes counter to that. That's the role of the media now. They take that on. Nobody has to tell them what to say. They know their roles. Their role is to influence public opinion to the point where the president, whoever is president at the time, deserves support. The military is right. And we have to create an environment of patriotism, because that is what it means to be a citizen, an American citizen. Similar things are happening in other countries. The media organizations in those countries have had a long-standing tacit agreement that in a crisis, the role, the primary role, is to get the people in line, Do not have them freak out. Don't undertake any investigative reporting. Don't come even close to suggesting that your country and its leaders have anything to do with the problem of a negative nature. All reports must be positive. And so you impose a sense of obligation, and you impose a sense of patriotism. And people will fall in line because you have the advantage that they do not. And the advantage you have is access and the ability to formulate and to enhance predictable behavior. You tell them where it is they ought to go, what it is they ought to think. You write stories that shape their attitudes and opinions. You broadcast to the nation. So it is understandable that government forces will seek to utilize this incredibly important asset to its advantage, to shape and frame what it is we think. So more and more, we do less independent thinking, and we look to media to give us the signal as to how we are to think and what we are to think. So at times like these, the number one thing you have to do is to safeguard your independence of thought. We're not stupid people. We can look at an issue and come to the heart of it. And when we get to the heart of it, we will know what it is we think. However, it cannot be allowed. It cannot be allowed. Nobody's going to be so emphatic and so obvious at this time to say, you may not think this, you may not think that. They'll just tell you stories that have the same general line to it. And little by little, you'll come around. You'll see how evil the enemy is. You'll see how correct your position or the position of your government is. And you will have fallen in line. You will have been converted into a non-thinking person. And this is the greatest danger to the plan. When you have people who, despite the extraordinary efforts that are being made to convert you, to influence your thinking, when, despite all of that, and it's going on 24/7, you still are insisting on being an independent thinker. There's no such thing for you as sides. There's no side to anything. Everybody is guilty, and everybody has some innocence. But you'd be crazy to start thinking in terms of taking sides. No government tells you the truth, lest you come to the conclusion that if you believe what is being said and you ingest it wholesale, meaning you have taken a side, chances are you don't know all you need to know to make an intelligent choice. because everybody is going to be lying to you. There's a vested interest in controlling your mind, in controlling what you think. And to be very honest, this is a major dilemma in the United States. We actually are so conditioned that we don't feel comfortable thinking for ourselves. We wait to see what it is that we ought to be thinking. Because our role in this period is to be supportive of a government, of an organized system of control, whether it is right or wrong, whether it is a lawbreaker, an unrepentant lawbreaker, or whether it sees as its primary task to seize our minds and make of us pliant and obedient citizens who, for the moment, or we wait for the signals for that too, suspend our ability to think and analyze for ourselves. We are in a very precarious moment in time as a nation. We know that things are happening in other parts of the world that we should be intimately familiar with. But we're not given the information, so we can't really feel comfortable with the idea that we know everything, or that we know the important things in order to come to a reasonable conclusion. So the role of media in this time, and for as long as is necessary, as the powers that be see it, this is how it's going to be. We think we know because the media tell us every day what is happening. And we are not there in the thick of it, so we have to depend on media coverage to shape our view and to shape our mindset about practically everything. And we long ago suspended the responsibility that we have to ourselves to maintain a sense of independence and to not volunteer for slavery of the mind. We have to think. For example, the news is still, you know, big about the explosion of an aircraft killing all persons on board. That is the news. In other words, they tell you this is what has happened. We have confirmed it. We have evidence of it. This is the truth. It may very well be. But you don't hand your brain over so willingly until you bring yourself to ask yourself some questions. This crash occurred in a part of the world that has been in the news for quite some time as the epicenter of corruption and of underhanded behaviors and actions by various actors, including the Bidens, including even the Clintons. They've been in this part of the world for a long time. Are we being told the truth about this? Is it possible that not one person at all. I'm not saying it's impossible, but when you think of the background of it, when you think of the circumstances that would shape any tragedy coming out of Ukraine, any major issue that would occur there, do you accept exactly what is said? No, I don't. Right now, I have major questions, and they're very simple questions. But my brain says something else happened there. And I have to satisfy my own curiosity based on my own sense of logic, based on recent history, based on recent developments that convince me we don't know what we need to know to come to any conclusion about whether the plane just fell out of the sky by itself. See, this is what I mean. It is not that they're not telling us the truth. It is that because there is a record, a consistent record of lies, we cannot just accept what they say as the truth. It's like our president. Because he is an inveterate liar, and the staff that he has around him, his aides and whatnot, they mimic his conduct and behavior and his thinking so that they too are inveterate liars. How dare we deceive ourselves by accepting what they say is truth? Automatically, your guard goes up and you start asking yourself pertinent questions for which there are no satisfactory answers. In the moment that we're in, we're told the other side, because now they've carved up the world for us. You're either with us or against us. Yes, we attack them. Trump is delirious. He got what he has been after for a long time. His own name attached to a war. Yes, he got it. He's very proud. But look at what he's proud of. He is proud that he was able, or his forces were able, to ascertain that they could attack now and catch the enemy in an unguarded moment. And it's the same kind of attitude with people in that area having a different attitude about the world. There's a meeting going on in which he is a major part because he has been a leading military leader. That's just a fact. It's not a sin to be a major military leader. That's what you do. We have the same here. We have major military leaders, and they make decisions. We don't have to agree. In fact, they don't care whether we agree. This is their area of expertise, and they know how to get certain things done. That's the history of warfare. And in some parts of the world, it's considered quite cowardly to kill somebody from afar. The tradition is it's a personal act. And you ought to be up close and personal to the person that you're killing. We don't have that kind of tradition in warfare in the United States. Just bomb the hell out of people. Kill them every way you can. Use mass weapons of mass destruction. You're doing evil, but you don't feel like you're doing evil because you're not up close and personal with what you're doing. You're just pressing buttons and people die. Again, it's a matter of cultural differences, you see. So, in this present moment, when we as individuals, ordinary people, we're not dealing with the matters of war. We're not dealing with the unpleasantness of dispensing death from a yellow pad. You make X's and dots, and these people will die, and those people, we'll let them live for a little while longer. But the logistics of war and so forth, we have nothing to do with that. We just wake up one morning, and here is the news by a sycophantic media telling us exactly what our military masters tell us, that it is our job to inform the public that this is what has happened. And they will never report. We made a huge blunder that cost thousands of people their lives. We were wrong about our assumptions and our tactics. They'll never report that. Quite the opposite. They will report victory. And a deserved victory, because they're smarter than the enemy. They outsmarted the enemy, and they won over the enemy. And here we go about our day. Despite what we're dealing with, we are still proud of our military. They won. Trump is saying, he hasn't stopped saying, you know, what a fine job. What his idea was in the first place to engage in this kind of military action. And he has personalized it to the degree that he and he alone, he and he first, was responsible for victory. So whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, you are now dealing with the obvious contradiction. You don't like this guy, but we won. That's the simplistic analysis, but it is a very effective analysis. I don't like this guy, but, you know, he had vision, he had guts, and as commander-in-chief, he delivered the one thing we want, victory. Now, you want to believe that? Go right ahead. I'm not here to beat you up about what you choose to believe. I'm just saying that chances are your belief is founded on lots and lots of lies and deceit. And we're seeing it, but we're not saying it. we are now accompanying Trump into the hell that he has designed for the nation. You will think like me. You will come to love me. You will come to adore me. Because I am, as he said before, I am a stable genius. That is important to him. Not values. Not about principles, not about the application or misapplication in this case. He told nobody he broke all kinds of rules. He's not fighting fair. He can't afford to fight fair because he's never known what fair is, either as an individual or in any other capacity, as a businessman, as a commander-in-chief. These are not values that he has either been taught or has learned. And now everybody has to act and think like him in order to be a good American. We are all reduced, we're all diminished by this demented man. So now we have to ask ourselves some questions. What really are our values? Is it all about winning at any cost, including that you run roughshod over everybody's thinking and values? He doesn't care what you think. And his whole administration mirrors that sentiment. They don't care what we think. They don't see themselves as having an obligation in governing. They have an obligation to be honest with the people. But how could we expect honesty from people who have demonstrated so many times that they are incapable of it? And in turn, how do we justify to ourselves? We know we being exploited. We know we're being taken advantage of. We know that our own sense of morals is so different from this. This way of operating is primitive in the extreme. It does not even come close to being a value. So this is the thinking we have to do. What have we allowed ourselves to become? What are we allowing ourselves to become to satisfy the definition, this new definition of good citizenship? The media has already, as an institution, they already failed the test. They're not investigating. They're not holding anybody responsible. They're not telling the truth. They're just going along to get along. So we have to reserve judgment on what they are saying, which is called, propaganda. You tell people what those in charge will permit you to tell people. And you know automatically, even if they don't tell you, you know automatically what you ought to tell the nation. America, right or wrong, mostly wrong, this is what it means. You must support this. You must be part of this. You must not object to this. You must not, in your own mind, doubt what is being said to you. You know their lies. You know there are blatant inconsistencies. you know, the information that we have is coming from individuals and institutions we no longer trust. We cannot afford, for our own survival and our own sake, to just receive what they send as the absolute truth. No. And we cannot afford to be lazy at this time. We have to be on point. Because you may not consciously think of it this way, but this is the essence of domination and control, where you yourself, whether consciously or unconsciously, you do the damage yourself. You make the determination that it is not right to be critical of a government. So you don't criticize. You make the determination that you are proud of your military. Therefore, you will not allow yourself to be part of anything that focuses on the military as an agent of terror rather than one of liberation. You yourself will take on the responsibility of cleansing this government of its misdeeds, so that you can feel good about being a good American. It happens all over the world. And that's what's happening now. I just want you to think about that. And understand that even though your brain, your mind, is not considered, in fact, it's not even worthy of consideration by the systems of control, but you can control what you think. And you can reason with yourself, and you can examine contradictions and see the yawning gaps in them. And you can see how we, as a nation of citizens, we are being manipulated. And we have to be aware of that at all times, because they are doing this nonstop. And we have to be aware. I'll take a little break now, and we'll come back to your comments and questions right after this at 888-874-4888. Lead Stories on your favorite station, ERN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking, we're really reminding of ourselves of our duty to honor ourselves. We were given working brains, the capacity to analyze things at birth. At birth. And we have to safeguard this asset that we have and not allow anybody to misuse it. Not at all. 888-874-4888 is the number to call and participate in our program today by contributing your own opinion about it. Have you thought about this in this way? Or are we just so programmed now that it doesn't matter what we're thinking, we just wait to hear from headquarters what it is we ought to be thinking and automatically just fall in line? Is that you? Is that you, that you have been doing this and you haven't been exercising the proper control over the greatest asset you have as a human being, the ability to think? Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Utrice. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Ed, and same to you.
Thank you. I can speak with some experience to this because I was a member of the armed forces, military, army, and I was in GF1. So the problem is you can't get a clear analysis. You can't be a lazy learner. You've got to dig. You've got to look at alternative news sources. That region of the world is complex. There are several national interests. There are several religious interests and influences. There is a cadre or a class of people, just like there's a class in America, that are elite and that profit from conflict. And alliances change on a daily basis. The Qasim, he was a national figure, but he was in direct conflict with the Supreme Ayatollah. And deals are made. The Mossad, the Israeli government, the Iraqi government, the Iran government, they all make deals within deals, and there are contramanders and players. And this media cannot and will not even attempt to give you the greatest, the accurate story of how the United States, Russia, and the Western powers have played a part in that region for decades, and what forces are at work. And the bottom line is, it's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about power. And figures will, and like the saying goes, politics makes strange bedfellows. There are many strange bedfellows in that region of the world. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt, and you can't be a lazy learner. You've got to do your due diligence. You've got to investigate. If you want to be involved, if you want to know what's going on, you've got to investigate the problem. Because the bottom line is, the only people, and take it from someone who's been there, the only people that suffer are the common people. The only people that really suffer are the people that are on the ground there, that homes are destroyed by ordnance, whose children lose limbs due to failed ordnance or misfired ordnance, depleted uranium bullets. Those are the real people that suffer, and that's the story that we don't hear in America.
Well, but what we can do, even if we don't hear it, we say, well, wait a minute. Wasn't Trump a guy who many, many millions of people in the United States found highly objectionable based on his so-called values, based on his conduct, based on his policies? And you wouldn't think that now, would you? He is acceptable now. He's great. He's a leader.
Well, that's the game. I mean, that's the game. Clinton did the same thing when he was being brought up on those spurious charges. It's historic. Waved the American flag, waved the war banner. But the bottom line is, the people we are fighting, this government helped create. I mean, there was a movie, Charlie Wilson's War. This government created Al-Qaeda. This government gave them the arms when they were fighting the Russians in Afghanistan. This government plays a key part in keeping disturbance within that region of the world. This government, the quote-unquote ruling class, there are people there that profit directly off of the misery of those people. And that's what you've got to look at. The countervailing forces that are at work there are very complex, and alliances change not only on a daily, on an hourly basis. And you can't go into this believing the nationalist diatribe that this country is puking out. because the bottom line is, you'll be my friend one, you'll be my friend this minute, you'll be my enemy the next. That's all. I mean, my concern is with the people, the common people that are on the ground, because they're the ones that have to deal with the aftermath, just like us over here.
Very well said, Ed, and thank you so much for starting us off with the right mindset today. Thank you so much. Ephraim Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, good afternoon to you.
And the PRN family also.
Thank you.
I don't have it clear in my head, but I tend not to listen to the stories that the media gives us, because I feel that they're just trying to steer us in the wrong direction. So the person, this general that was killed, he was killed by some machine flying in the air?
A drone attack. It was a drone attack.
A drone. I mean, what is a drone? Is a machine that flies in the air. I see them over in the neighborhood. Sometimes the phone company uses drones to look at the wires. Instead of sending a man out, now they use drones with a camera on it to see if there's trees that might fall on the wires and stuff. So this drone flies around, and it's armed with a weapon, and it can pick out the person that they want to kill. And then this person who's a general, who must have been in the armed forces for 20 years, who has great experience with weaponry and all this stuff, he's just supposed to, like, stand still while this machine's flying over and then kills him? And we're living in a science fiction world here, seems to me.
Well, it seems you're suggesting that he ought to have known better.
I'm suggesting that I don't think it's possible that that could have been carried out so simply. I mean, you're telling me that this drone, we've had so much experience with these drones that they can just do this now all of a sudden? We've moved into the future now, like we're in the Star Wars, and we can just kill people with this machine.
The United States has been doing it for a long time. This is not new in military practice for the U.S.
Well, it's new. It's new to me because I never heard of a machine that flies in the air and it can shoot people and kill them. And it's so effective.
You need to revise that because it is not only possible, it is actually done at alarming regularity. People, this is war. This is a part of warfare now. Technology has, and by the way, that's too, is something that they fooled us about, that drones and controlled systems of killing would actually lessen the death toll and save soldiers' lives, because they don't have to get close to the enemy anymore. They can control the drone, and they don't have to get very close to the shedding of blood anymore.
Okay. Well, I mean, as long as we accept it as truth, then it might as well be truth, because there's nothing to go against it. This simple cut and dry thing, like Lee Harvey Oswald. The drone flies in the air, it picks out this general out of a crowd of who knows where, and it's able to carry out its mission of killing this man. Think it's wounded.
Well, first, what they do is they locate the target.
How can they be so sure that it would be successful? When you carry out a plan to do a military thing, you have to have plans. You're just going to fly something and it's going to shoot the guy that you want to shoot.
No, it's not
done
that way.
It's all
going to
work out perfectly.
But it's not done that way. First of all, a lot goes into locating the target. There are all kinds of coordinates that are used to locate the target. that is not done up close and personal. They have an idea. They have lots of spies. They have lots of ways of locating a target. The target is located. The coordinates are set. And the drone is then tied into the coordinates, and it carries the load to where it needs to go. That's how it works. It detonates it. It is immaterial after that, whether the drone is shot out of the sky or whether it destroys itself or whatever. But the main purpose is accomplished. And nobody has to get close to this man in order to kill him. Thanks for calling in. Thank you for calling in. Lee from New York, you're on the air.
My way of dealing with the whole thing is just not to our major media. I haven't looked at TV now probably, I don't know, well over a month for sure. I didn't look at any of the debates, and I haven't looked at any of this stuff since it started because I know exactly what it is. It's so repetitious, and you just hear the same thing over and over and over again, and I just refuse to have my brain fill that way.
A good feel. But do you see how effective it is and has been?
I know how effective it is. I watched what happened at 9/11, and because I had some personal knowledge, a lot of stuff that they were saying over and over again, I knew personally, was not the truth, absolutely not the truth. I'll give you a classic example. That airplane that went down in Pennsylvania, I knew for a fact that the captain of that particular plane was a black man, and I never saw that depicted on all the news that was out there. Never saw it depicted.
Hmm. Well, you just told me something that I didn't hear or know.
Okay.
But this is what happens in the middle of all of this. Everything that could be brought to bear to confuse and to basically take possession of our minds for the benefit of whoever is orchestrating it, that's what is happening. That's the priority item. Truth is not a priority item at a time like this.
Well, 9/11, I remember that lady, Betsy, whatever her name is, of the EPA, saying that the air was safe to breathe. How anybody could believe that, I don't know, but apparently an awful lot of people believed it. That was just, to me, that was over the top. It was over the top. I listened to the news like the first 2 days, and after that 9/11, I just didn't listen anymore. I just decided I'll get the information elsewhere. And I do notice that things that I heard on those first 2 days, some of those things were never, ever repeated. For example, I heard, I don't know if he's a captain of the fire department or whoever he is, but he was a major person in fire department. Initially, it was either, I think it was the first day or the second day, he said the building was pulled, and he was talking and referring to building number 7. I never heard that repeated.
Revising 9/11, we're talking about what happened now, what is happening now. So It is important if you could bring us up to snuff. I understand the point you're making and how you're illustrating your point, but we want to pay attention to what is happening now because we are experiencing it now, and we have a clear point of reference now. But I think your points are very well taken. I think you raise some very important questions. The question is, how do we apply what you have learned to the situation now? But thank you for calling in and contributing today. Jeff from Michigan, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. This is a fantastic subject because we are, as you say, well, let me just point this out, which you mentioned. You talked about repetition. Repetition is education. That is the way that our military teaches their recruits. They don't care whether the recruits understand one bit of what they're saying. So what they'll do is they'll just say, I don't care about what you know about it. I just want you to memorize this. And you memorize it, and over time, it imprints in your brain, and you'll probably understand it over time because mostly what they teach you is useful. And the military is the most effective teacher we have in our society, and they use repetition. And if you don't hear a countering voice, you will eventually, even if you have doubts about that repetition, you will eventually give in to it because you have nobody to support your views. And you'll think, oh, I must be an outlier. I must be a fool. Or you'll just be embarrassed because you're the only one. So repetition is used. And I want to say that I've written a book about how to find the truth for yourself, because I've seen this propaganda. And in my view, the propaganda is so heavy, particularly on the mainstream media, that I can't abide it. I just can't, so I have no TV. Because I even see the propaganda in the programming, even sitcoms. The way people talk about things, the clothes they wear. I watch the women with their eyelashes all painted on. And I say, look, these people are not expert at anything. Yet they're rendering opinions on everything. And we're supposed to listen to that? So here's what I want to suggest to people. And I thank you so much for this. This is at the bottom of all of this, all of everything now that's going on as we make our choices day to day. That because I have a background in law and because I was a trial lawyer for about 30 to 35 years, I have the rules of evidence imprinted in my brain. What people don't talk about that are talking about truth when they say, oh, go read some magazines or newspapers, listen to different ones or read different ones, and you'll have an idea. That didn't work for me because I had that advice before I went to the law. But when I got to the law, what that taught me was it's not so much brilliance or an aha moment that you discover what's going on. What you do, if you do it the way the courts do it, and that's our state-of-the-art crucible in which we make these kinds of determinations. What they do is they have a judge who sits as an arbiter who determines what information is permitted to the determiners of fact. Because if they come in with all kinds of...
I don't want to interrupt you, but I have to caution you that we're almost out of time. And if you wish to continue, please call again tomorrow to finish up your thought. I don't want to just cut it off. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry about the fact that we had to interrupt you, but that's why I caution people, make your point as succinctly as possible so you get in under the radar here. and participate meaningfully, especially from what we were hearing from Mitch. We've come to the end of our program, but not to the end of our discussion. We may continue this tomorrow as well. It's very important that we discuss it. Thanks so much for contributing and contributing so meaningfully. It helps us all. It really does. And I'm very proud of the effort you make to make your contribution meaningful. Thanks for listening. We see each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.